Who's your one? That's the question that we have been challenged with this entire series. And I hope that God has impressed your heart for that one person in your circle, one person in your community, one person at your school, one person in your neighborhood who you've been praying for, that God would use you to impact their lives. Well, good morning. Good to see you today. Well, it's good to be seen. Truly, it's been an exciting journey. And listen, I want to invite your attention to the 26th chapter of Acts. That's where our message for the morning is coming from. Because, Rachel, God has a special word in store for us. There's a message he wants to get to us. And if you've been with us throughout this series, you know that we have been emphasizing why we should have a one. We've been talking about really searching for who that person is, that family is, that God would impress upon our hearts that we can make an impact in their lives. Hopefully that in them getting to know us, they would get to know God. So we talked about the why, and on this particular installment in the series, Keandre, we want to focus in on the how. How do we have a conversation with the person who is to be our one? How are we able to take conversations from the horizontal plane and take them vertical? And now I know some of you right now, when I said vertical, you were already thinking about the second NBA game, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. We're going to get there in a little bit, praying for both the Raptors and the Warriors, but we're going to get there in a little while. No, I'm talking about how can we have conversations with people, and in those conversations, quickly get to conversations that really matter, conversations of eternal significance. Conversations that include our stories. We're going to see that in the 26th chapter of Acts. But before we get there, I had an experience this week, and I do ask that you pray because we have a household of teenagers. Anthony, you understand. We have a household of teenagers, four to be exact, and my son came down just earlier this week, and I was a little troubled. I know that you may not have this experience in your house, but in my house, every now and then I observe things. And if you're a parent of teenagers, of young teens, of preteens, anything that's not on their own, if they're not grown and gone, and they're still in your house, I advocate that you ought to be an inspector. You ought to check out some things. You ought to watch your kids. Yeah. I'm going to say that one more time. You ought to watch your children, watch your kids, watch your teenagers. And Austin, my investigative skills are always at work in my house. Yeah. And it just so happened, Pastor, that my son, he's the oldest. I'm not going to say his name because he did such a great job with the praise team. I'm not going to say his name, but my oldest came down just early this week, and he had his phone, and I was amazed, Curtis, that everywhere he went, his phone went with him. And he was just glued to the phone, and he was coming down. He was fixing his breakfast looking at the phone. Lily, and I was sure to tell him, make sure you don't do that while you drive. But he was looking at the phone, and to my amazement, I said, what has him so enthralled? What has his attention so much? And guess what I've learned? Alisa, my son is hooked on bones. No, I'm not talking about chicken bones or beef bone. No, this TV series called Bones. And I struggled because I was trying to figure out, wait a minute, son, that's old. I mean, those episodes came out when you were 3 years old. What would have a 17-year-old, I'm not going to identify him, but what would have a 17-year-old glued in on a TV show as old as Bones? There's a story about an anthropologist who actually helps to discover mysteries or uncover mysteries by looking beneath the surface. I'm not advocating a show. I mean, it's a great show. It's actually a show taken from the author's life, the producer's life. It is her real life being told out. But my boy, check him out. My boy came and I said, son, you got to help me understand. You know, why are you so glued to this? And he said, Dad, because this is binge worthy. So now, I consider myself a lexicoma. I mean, I enjoy the study of words, but I checked and verified that word was not in any of the dictionaries that I ever came across. He said it was binge-worthy. Of course, then he began to elaborate because he saw the confusion on my face. He said, Dad, it would binge-worthy. I said, son, I know what it is. I know what a compound word is, but that's not really a word. He said, no, let me tell you, Dad, what binge-worthy is an episode that you can watch over and over and over again because you get entangled in the experiences of another. I said, He said, Dad, a binge-worthy show is a story worth watching. Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder. I said, that's right. Because there's some believers in here who have a story worth telling. Amen. That anytime God has touched your life, changed your life, transformed your life, that's a story worth telling. That's a story worth repeating. You're looking at me like God never did that before. Has God ever broken through the darkness of your life, shined the light of his grace in your life, and now your life has been changed? If that happened to you, then that is a story worth telling. Somebody needs to know your story. You ought to tell your story to someone because it may be your very story that helps someone have a life-changing experience with a God who's changed your life. That's really what we see in Apostle Paul's testimony in the 26th chapter of Acts. Hope you made your way there. Because as you go into this particular pericope, my kids try to tell me not to use those words. I'm trying to bring it this passage. Yeah, you go through this passage. You'll see something unique about how Paul handles a predicament in his life. Check this out, Michael. That Paul takes a predicament in his life, a predicament where others are accusing him. If you read the previous chapter, in the 25th chapter, people want to kill him because they don't like him. To my teens and seniors, they were high on haterade. And so since they were high on haterade, they were just coming against him. And they were coming against him because they didn't like what God was doing through him. And because they were coming against him, his situation and scene kept changing. See, he'd go before the magistrate and Festus was there, and Festus didn't see anything that he was necessarily guilty of that would warrant his death. So Festus waits for King Agrippa to come to town. King Agrippa comes to town with all the pomp and circumstance that a king has. I'm telling you, with royal regalia and the military in tow. They come to town, and now you have all the prominent people of Jerusalem, the accusers, all in one place called the audience hall, and there is Paul. Paul is in the middle of the audience hall, and the king says, now make a defense for yourself. You ever been there before? No, I can't talk to y'all right now. You ever been there before? You know, you have friends around, and everybody in your circle is around, and then your parents come in the middle of all that, and they call you to make a defense about what you're doing. Don't look at me, son. I'm talking to them. I'm not talking to you. So here's his context. He's in the middle of the audience hall, and instead of doing what would appear to be a usual defense of innocence, Paul takes this situation and he makes it a platform to share his testimony. I'm trying to help you understand something. Because as believers, we must be ready. We must be able to share Christ with confidence anywhere. Let me talk to folk who hadn't gone to sleep just yet. As those who understand and been gripped by grace. But said Mary, we must always be ready and able. In the grocery store line, we must be ready and able. In traffic, when you talk to people, I hope you do it as a Christian ought to. You must be ready and able to share your testimony. That's really what going vertical is all about, is being ready. And the Apostle Paul is there. In the 26th chapter, he's there before King Agrippa. And as we lean in to learn how the Apostle Paul shared his testimony in his own situation, I want to challenge you to consider doing the same in every one of yours. Are you ready? Are you ready to lean in? Because Apostle Paul now is there, and King Agrippa asks him to make a defense. And it's in verse 4 that he really begins his defense, where Paul begins to talk about his life. Paul says that the manner of his youth was such that he grew up among the religious elite. Check it out, verse 4. He says, from the beginning, among my own nation and in Jerusalem, it is known by all the Jews, they have known for a long time, if they were willing to testify according to the strictest party was my religion. I have lived as a Pharisee, and now I stand on trial because my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day, and for this hope I am accused by the Jews, O king. Why it is thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead. I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues, and I tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Check out the Apostle Paul here. The Apostle Paul is standing on trial, and the first thing you see him describe is what his life was like before Christ. And as we unpack what his life was like before Christ, I challenge you to consider what your life was like before Christ. In fact, in your worship folders, you ought to have a Who's Your One Sharing Your Testimony guide. It looks just like this. Go ahead and pull that out for me if you would. Go ahead and pull that out. It looks just like this. Now, if you're on a side with a language that you don't understand, it's okay. Just turn it over. It's just like this, sharing your testimony guide. Because as we look at how the Apostle Paul uses an opportunity given him to tell others what his life was like before Christ, I mean, check it. You did hear him say it, right? He says that he was religious, but he didn't have a relationship. He says he's a Pharisee among the Pharisees. Hold on, not just that. He believed that he didn't even need Christianity. So he opposed those who knew about Christ, believed in Christ, so much so that the brother was downright wicked. You know, he's wicked by his treatment of others, and he said he even signed off on folk being killed. Now, that's his BC days. I just want to challenge you to think about your BC days. Your before Christ days. How was it when you didn't know the love of Christ for yourself? What was your life like? What was your life like before you understood that God loved you, and in his love for you, he came in flesh himself as Christ Jesus and died for you? What was your life like before when you were caught in the darkness of sin? Do you remember? I get it. You saying, my life wasn't like his. I mean, I didn't go around killing nobody. Wait a minute, y'all didn't affirm that. I didn't go around persecuting the church. And so maybe it's good for Paul to share his life because his life had that kind of climactic tension in it. But my life, not so much. Apostle Paul, in his life, his sin was demonstrative. Everybody saw his sin. But maybe you were cut from a different cloth. Maybe you were like me and your sin was a little more secret. You always knew church. Anybody in here was born in church? I'm talking about like you never know. In fact, before you went to school, you went to church, and the first school you went to was called Sunday school. And anybody here, you cut your teeth in church. You knew all the hymns. You knew all the right answers. You knew Jesus was the answer, no matter what the question was. I mean, you grew up in church. You were in Bible drill. You're in Bible sword drill. Let me see here. Salute. Draw your sword. No, some of y'all don't know that. Okay. But you had the memory verses down. All you knew was church. Maybe you're like me. You grew up in church, but the God of church wasn't in you. And because that was the case, when something traumatic happened in your life, like in my life, when I sat there and I watched my father disappear, and was wondering, can I be loved? Am I wanted? Does anyone care? And I was gripped with despair and distraught and didn't know what to make of life. As I sat there at 7 years of age and I watched the vehicle move, leave the scene, and I sat there growing up in church wondering, well, if God is real, then why is he letting this happen to me? Maybe I'm not supposed to be loved. And then my grandfather came and he began to walk with me, to let me know that there is a Father who will never leave you nor forsake you. And up until that point in my life, I knew about God, but I hadn't truly embraced and accepted his love for me. Because my grandfather came to me, I was able to say yes to him. And because he came to me, because at the time when I was just a church guy, those of you who grew up in church, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you were in the youth ministry, but you weren't in ministry. Because here's the deal, y'all. No matter what your BC day was like, whether it was tragic nonetheless. Before Christ, life is tragic nonetheless. If it's demonstrative or if it's in secret, it's tragic nonetheless. And Satan wants to stop us right there. Because my story wasn't one that I was locked up. My story wasn't one that I was addicted to something. My story wasn't one of those big stories, then my story shouldn't be told. But we forget that that's actually the background of our story is not the climax of our story. The background of our story is just that. It's just the background. And you need the background in order for the light to shine the brightest. I remember this, y'all. I do. I remember this. I remember this, Kiana, because it was in 1996. I remember. I remember in 1996. Trey, you weren't around yet, but they were writing out bones at this point. I said I wasn't going to identify you. I'm sorry. I remember in 1996, because there I was in 1996. I went to a jeweler because I had found my prime rib, my good thing. My wife, I want to seal the deal, you know, because when you love someone, you got to seal the deal. And I went to the jeweler, and I went there and I said, let me check out these diamonds you have here, you know, and I'm checking those diamonds out, and the jeweler looked at me, and I look at the jeweler, and I saw them big diamonds, but he looked at me, and I looked at him, and then he said, you're not ready for these, young man, and he went to another set of diamonds, but he pulled out that diamond, and before he pulled the diamond out, he did something unique. He took a black cloth and he laid it on the countertop. Then he took that diamond so that I could see it. You know, he took that diamond. He laid it in the middle of that black cloth, and now the diamond began to shine even more. It shined it before it was on the backdrop, but it shined even more. Are they able to see it? Come here. I'm trying to help you understand something. The reason we got to be real with people and tell them what our life was like before Christ, because it helps for them to see really how Christ shines in our lives. So think now. You got your card? Go ahead. Pull your card out. Pull your card out. Why don't you go ahead and describe what was your life like before Christ? Go ahead. And about two or three sentences. My daughter asked me how many characters. I said, well, baby, just make it tweetable. I had to test it on them before I tested it on you all. I said, just make it tweetable. Go ahead and write it out. Just write out what your life is like before Christ. Oh, I get it. I know some of you all, you're a new generation. Okay, go ahead and draw it. Make an emoji of it. Just go ahead and describe what it was like. But Apostle Paul, it was traumatic. Apostle Paul, he was not a blessing, but he was a terror to the church. But it's a good thing that God didn't leave him there. Because while he stood before King Agrippa, not only did he tell him about what his life was like before Christ, he told him about when Christ encountered his life. It's really right there in the text, when verse 13, where he said, Paul says, at midday, O king, I saw a light that came from heaven, brighter than the sun. It shone around me and those who journeyed with me, and I had fallen to the ground. I heard the voice saying to me in a Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of their sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Check it out. That the Apostle Paul begins to share, that's how my life was before Christ, but Christ loved me so much not to leave me in the darkness that he found me in. That he shined his light through my darkness. And we ought not forget that part of the story, because that is the story that matters. We ought to be able to share with others what it was like when we encountered Christ. And for some of us, we encountered him moment increments where in this time I saw Christ and in this time I saw Christ. And by this time I knew that his love for me was real. But we got to remember, you may not remember the exact day. Some of you do. You may not remember the exact hour. Some of you do. But what you must remember is what happened when he came into your life. Somebody needs to know that your forgiveness was assured when he came into your life. Someone needs to know how the burdens of your life was lifted and the scales from your eyes fell because you realized that God was real and you knew it for yourself. Anybody know God is real up in here? We have to remember it. And as you remember, go ahead and write it down. Go ahead and write down how it happened in your life. Go ahead, you have your cards. You write it down. Make it tweetable. The reason I want you to do this is because by writing it, we gain greater clarity. So when it's our time to share it, we're able to share it in 2 to 3 minutes. I mean, I shared my testimony with you today in a matter of 2 minutes. How my life was transformed because someone came into my life to share with me about how Jesus changes lives. You remember when someone did it for you? Maybe been a Sunday school teacher. Maybe been a relative. Maybe been a preacher. Maybe been a grandmother. Maybe been a friend. But somebody shared with you. I want you to know your story so you can share it with others. But the Apostle Paul didn't stop there. He continues on. And he talks about how his new life in Christ continued. For he says in verse 22, to this day, I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. Check out Apostle Paul. He says his testimony never stopped. He never stopped talking about what God has done for him. And here, brothers and sisters, we got to get ready to transform our conversations vertical. I mean, we could talk about the Raptors, and we could talk about how the Warriors are going to adjust the game so that they can be ready for the... I'm sorry, wrong people. We can talk about a whole bunch. Connie, like, what are you talking about? I didn't read that. We could talk about a whole lot of things. We talk about the weather. We talk about careers. But we have to learn to talk about what matters most. And I want to give you some tools to do that. One of the tools that was used when I was growing up to know Christ came from the ABCs. That when you want to know Christ, you just got to know the ABCs. I'm not talking about the alphabets, but you remember? It's admit that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose again. And see, confess. You can read it up there, it is. Or maybe you can't see it. Confess to follow him, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So after you share your personal testimony with someone and they ask you, well, how can I have what you have? You can tell them, well, it's like ABC. Admit, confess, and believe. Another strategy that we like to employ is that of faith. F-A-I-T-H. Some of you have gone through faith training. It's just another strategy to help somebody understand how to connect with God, and it's called faith. It's going vertical. Faith is F-A-I-T-H. F is forgiveness, for we all need forgiveness. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need forgiveness, and A stands for available, that forgiveness is available, but it's not automatic. That you have to confess before God and he will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I is for impossible. That it's impossible for me to get to heaven, to be a part of God's family on my own. I need God's assistance. T is for turn. Turn. That I'm going to turn away from sin and self and I'm going to turn to Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so that I can have H. And H stands for what? Heaven and home. That I'm at home with Jesus, at home with the family of God, and I know that my eternal home is to be with him evermore in heaven. These are strategies you can use when you go into the restaurant today and the waiter comes and asks for your order. And before you bless your meal, you can say something like, listen, we're about to pray. Can I pray for you? And then they tell you what they're in need of. And you pray for them, and you can tell them who meets the need. And then they ask you how. He says, easy as ABC. It's as easy as faith. But there's another. There's another. It's life on mission. Go ahead and pull your phones out right quick. Go ahead and pull your phones out. It's okay. Pull your phones out. Pull your phones out. Some of you been having your phone out. But I know you're taking notes. I know you're taking notes. Life on mission. And I really, really, really like this new strategy, the strategy of three circles that explain how life initially by God's design was perfect. It was beautiful. Man was in a relationship with God. God was in a relationship with man. That's how God designed it. But then sin came and we experienced brokenness. And that brokenness has us looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to fill the broken spaces with everything but what can heal a broken heart and a broken soul. That's Christ and his love. And when we repent and believe in the work of Christ, we're back in line with God's design because we live life as his children. I want you to take your smartphones out because that app is available. Through the Play Store, through iOS system, it's available. You can download it. It's Life on Mission, Life Conversations. And even if you feel, after you shared your testimony, that you don't feel like you can truly articulate it, what you believe, but you ought to be able to. I want you to learn how to do this. Pick one and learn the one and practice it. Start today.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.